Yes, I think I've heard that story, so that is an illustrator of one of the likeness of the languages.
We had a Norwegian student from Bergen, and she certainly said she found it very easy to understand. Yeah. The sounds were the same, you know. But well, that's a good one.
It's when Norway fell, the troops came out and were stationed in a camp by the Bryggerwedd. And weren't allowed to contact their families for some weeks, wasn't it? It's the choice of the story of two young men coming and wanting to know if the mayor of some town in the north of England had died, because it had been in the paper and this was his father, but they weren't, what wasn't getting out, you know, that the troops had been taken out.
Well, the British troops had taken out of Norway, had to put them, there's a tent at camp alongside the school at Stennis where I went. And I was amazed the number of men there. At dinner time, how many men come out of any tent? It's astonishing how they were packed together. Bit of a story, Gregor Lamb's book, Sky Over Skapak, contains that the planes went out for Hudson to bomb Norway, and this probably 8 or so. And came back, and one was missing, so the power line. But after a bit, they had the sound, and this was the plane coming in. And the distance to Norway meant that they only had 20 minutes' time in Norway to have enough fuel to come back to Kirkwall. But this plane came in, landed, and before it could park, the parking space, the fuel ran out. Just made it.
There have been a few that didn't make it, though, I doubt.
Well, kind of like that.
They had a pigeon loft just up by St. Peter's, just now in Strumness. There's an officer in charge of pigeons. They first say when they went out in the North Sea, they'd take a pigeon with them.
The planes had a pigeon to send the back of the wireless field and needed to send a position.
Well, it's also that as soon as they switched the radio on here, not only they could hear the pick show, and it was being picked up in Germany. So they didn't use the radio unless it was absolutely essential in the North Sea, because they could be pinpointed with it.
There was a story again that Catherine told. That's done. Well, that civilian worker, and a lot of them came for Stromness, and the buses were late on, home for tea, of course. So one night, nobody came home for tea or what has happened, more or less. Eventually, they came back about 9 or 10 o'clock from here. Point was, just before stopping time at Hudson, a radio was heard intimating that a strike had left Hudson bound for Norway. Of course, instantly the place was closed down and search was made. And I think I found a clandestine radio under some hut, and I suppose somebody there operated, but there was such a the college should set somebody to search in the records for what spies was found in our time.
Isn't that story about somebody knocking on a door in Bushy asking the way to Skibray?
No, I haven't heard one.
Mum had that story, wasn't it? And then shortly after, the military police come and look at her and ask her if somebody had been passing by.
I suppose it'd be such a significant place to find out about.
Oh, yes.
Did I tell you the story of the submarine, the German submarine?
Oh, no, tell me.
The point was, it'll take a hell of a time, more or less. The point was that I got this story from my father-in-law. I think he got the story from the man concerned. But it was a Stromness man, name forgotten, of course, the captain of a ship somewhere in South America, I think, just after the war, or not long after the war, went ashore to get a meal rather than shipboard food. And I can tell a tale, it was busy, but there was a seat. One table had one man at it and a vacant seat. Could he get? Oh, yes. So he sat there. Of course, he started to talk. And it turned out he was a chairman, likewise a ship captain, and business and so on like that. And then the story turned to the war. And we came out of this, the Britman, he came from Orkney, and the chairman, I thought, yes, that's interesting. And then the chairman had been in the submarine service in the war, and the submarine had been on patrol area was west and north of Orkney. And then he said that when tide and weather was right, they would come into cross into Berry, put two English speakers ashore, dressed in civilian clothes, and meet Oak's van somewhere on Berry and buy things, you know, get on board, I suppose, eggs and butter and things like that. And when you think of submarines now with 60 or so crew, well, that they could buy wouldn't have been much difference, but submarines at that time, it would maybe 10 or a dozen crew, so a dozen of eggs, one each sort of. But anyway, the story was told, and on reference, they found that the Oak's van did pass this particular point on the day indicated. So, is the story true?
Oh, that's a great story. It's yes. A great story. I don't suppose we'd be grudging them an egg or two if they were.
Well, they said that the fact that they were not speaking Arcadian or wouldn't have caused any interest for so many workers from Ireland and all the rest of that, that a strange accent was nothing new.
So Oak's van supplying the enemy.
So yes, you say, get the story in the German press and see if it needs.